Welcome to the Blended Kingdom Families Podcast. We are your hosts, Scott and Vanessa Martindale, the founders of Blended Kingdom Families.
Our ministry serves to equip marriages, unite families, and ignite faith so that you can flourish an abundant kingdom life. We pray that our podcast blesses you today.
Hey guys, Scott and Vanessa Martindale here with Blended Kingdom Families. At BKF, we believe now is the time to change the modern day interpretation of the blended family.
Absolutely, you guys. As a blended family ourselves, God laid it on our hearts to build a ministry that helps support blended families by equipping your marriage, uniting the family unit, and igniting your faith. Our mission is that you would be touched by God and experience His goodness through this ministry, that your family would have practical skills, resources, and tools to help you live that abundant blended life.
Hey guys, welcome back to Blended Kingdom Families, our podcast. We are so excited to have these very special ladies with us, Pastor
Callie Gray
and her daughter, Lauren Luna. Great to have you guys.
I'm glad to be here. Yeah.
It's going to
be fun.
It is going to be fun.
Y'all
buckle up. It's ready to go.
Yeah, y'all. I'm excited. And, you know, I've been following Pastor Callie for a few years now, and man, what your ministry and Jenny, and I mean, it's changed my life. It's changed, that conference that I went to at Her Voice, that was in that season.
Wow. It's such a blessing to be able to watch all of the young women just literally blossom as God just begins to work in their lives in a deeper way.
Yes.
And really that conference is more about just like an encounter more than
a conference. It was. Absolutely. It was, yes, the Holy Spirit showed up big time.
Yes.
Big time. Well, you guys, I want to tell you a little bit about Pastor Callie and Lauren. So Lauren is a daughter, a wife, and a mom of five, y'all. And she is in a blended family. Pastor Callie's blended as well. So this is our first mother-daughter duo, and we're excited. Lauren also, she's been in ministry since her teens. She's been through the ups and downs of marriage, divorce, business loss, child problems, but has watched God piece back together and bring restoration to areas in her life she thought were gone forever. And so I'm excited for you, Lauren. She's also Pastor Callie's daughter, you can see.
Yes.
Pastor Callie, wife, mother of seven children and 13 grandchildren.
Yes.
I love that.
Yes, that's the fun part.
Yeah.
It makes you so glad you didn't kill them kids. And I thought about it.
Especially me.
Yeah.
Like last week.
That is awesome. Pastor Callie, happily blended, and she's been in ministry for over 25 years, you guys. We have so much to learn from her. Pastor in prayer, prophetic voice, lover of the local church. She's also the executive pastor of Celebration of Life Church in Baytown, Texas. Houston area for all y'all folk that don't know that. But yeah, we are so excited to have y'all here and just excited for what the Holy Spirit is going to speak in and through each and one of us. So
thank
welcome.
You so much.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Welcome.
Well, guys, I know we just gave you a great introduction, but we want to know from your hearts. Kind of just tell us a little bit about you, your families, what you guys enjoy, your church.
Ministry.
Anything you guys want to share to kind of introduce yourself to the audience.
One of the things I love to say is God takes weak and flawed people and He uses His redemption power.
Yes,
and He washes us and cleanses us and purifies us, and He uses us for the kingdom.
Amen.
And that is exactly what I that's my life. That's my life story. Mm-hmm. Someone that just made a lot of mistakes, but kept coming back to Jesus. And the key to living an overcoming life is just keep coming back to Jesus because He has all the answers. And I watched Him. You know, I got saved in a classical Pentecostal church at about 16 and filled with the Spirit, and it changed my life. My mother and daddy were alcoholics, and my sister and I, you know, suffered a lot of things even as young girls. Mm-hmm. And then we got saved, filled with the Spirit, married husbands, married, you know, I married my first husband. My sister married Todd, who she's still married to almost 40 years later, praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. And you know, when you get married, you get married to get married forever.
Yeah.
And you don't, nobody plans on having A blended family.
Yeah.
Nobody plans on having a divorce. Nobody plans. But I am a living representation, and so is Lauren, that God can get right in the middle of our mess. Mm. And if we'll work with Holy Spirit, He will lead and guide us into all truth, and He'll make that mess a miracle.
Amen. Mm. Absolutely. I love that.
That's so good.
Yeah.
Well, I'm her daughter. and I love my mom. My mom's my hero. You know, I am a mom and a wife of a million children. I've got 5 kids, and they're amazing. I married super young, like my mom. My mom was super young when she got married the first time. Mm-hmm. I got married my first marriage. I was 18. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think for me, I just wanted to do, I had grew up in a broken home and not, you know, seeing divorce and all that. And so I so desperately wanted to do things different that I just, you know, married the first preacher that walked into my church, you know, God bless him. And, but anyways, and so, you know, like mom said, you know, we don't expect that. We want the fairy tale, and we don't expect it to fall apart, and we sure as heck do not go into situations thinking it's going to fall apart.
Yeah.
And so after 11 years, it did fall apart. And but God has brought so much restoration to me and to my family now, my husband now. I'm married to the Mexican Jesus is what I call him. He is Mexican, and I'm very proud of that.
Jesus.
And he is, like, you know, I'm not going to put him up there with Jesus, but he is probably the closest thing to it. You know, he's just the same yesterday, today, and forever. Mm. And I'm definitely the tornado in our marriage and in our family. And, you know, we are happily blended. We've got 5 children. 4 of them live with us. One of them, my bonus daughter, she is in college. She's going to graduate from nursing school this year. So that's super exciting.
Wonderful.
Yes. And so we're enjoying, you know, going through the ups and downs of learning how to blend and be a family and feel like the family, you know, just feel that love and connection. And so I think there'll be some good things I can share that I've learned so far.
Yeah.
I look forward to it.
Well, and I just, you know, just knowing y'all a little bit better and following you guys, I mean, just the joy of the Lord, like, in your family, just seeing, I mean, it's regardless of what you've gone through in your past, I mean, you wouldn't even know. You wouldn't even
know. That's
how
we get through stuff.
But yeah, I mean, you know,
we laugh a lot.
You just put Jesus at the center of it, and you see that. I mean, it reflects in each of you. So
thank you so much.
What I love about this story so far is that, you know, I think a lot of people in Christian circles, they look at, you know, people who are really happy or really, you know, Christ-centered, or, you know, like you said, just really have that eluding fact of they love Jesus, and they think, well, they've always been that way.
Yeah.
They grew up with it. It was, you know, that was their family. That's them, and they have that because their background chose it for them. And I love that you guys will tell the story like, no, that's not how it happened.
No, it is.
We chose it because we were broken and because that was the way to go. Mm-hmm. And I think more people could see brokenness to amazement and to being so happy and loving Jesus, but understanding that you can get there without having, you know, to have that perfect world.
And the truth of the matter is even the ones we think are perfect.
Mm, yeah.
They ain't perfect.
They're struggling with dysfunction too.
Yeah.
And without Jesus, we're all a mess.
Yeah.
Even the ones that have the better breaks, or the mom and dad that never divorced, or there's everybody has. If you pastor very long, what you're going to find out is we are a bunch of people that need the cross. Mm-hmm. We need Jesus. We need grace, and we need His redemptive power.
Amen.
And you know, it started for me as my mother and daddy came into Baytown, Texas, when Cindy and I were 5 and 6, drunk driving a car.
Wow.
Mm. And we rented from a little Pentecostal woman. The family said, those girls will never amount to anything. That was what the family said.
Wow.
But that Pentecostal woman began to pick Cindy and I up for church because she came to evict my parents because they didn't pay their rent.
Wow.
And she saw Cindy and I playing dolls, and the Lord said, don't kick them out. Intercede for their family and take those girls to church. My hand is on them.
Wow.
So it started with, I mean, dysfunction goes so back so far.
Yeah.
But the redemptive thread started when I was 5 years old.
That's amazing.
It's amazing the goodness of God.
Yeah,
it is.
And when you read the Bible and all our heroes of faith were so flawed.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, they were flawed.
Yeah.
But God's redemptive thread, he just led them. And they kept working with the Holy Spirit. And really, that's the key to life when you're a Christian.
Yeah.
I love it.
Well, and we're powerless without the Holy Spirit.
We are powerless.
And that is where our power is. And so knowing him and letting him lead you and guide you, I mean, that is where we become powerful.
Love it.
Yeah. Lauren, I love, you know, we were talking back, you know, back studio earlier when you guys first got here about expectations in blended families and how, you know, how to only have your expectations high in God. Yeah. And Scott has this saying, it's called death by expectation. And, you know, it's so easy to put your expectations like on your spouse and on your kids. But how, when you put your expectations in God, how that can work to bring you close together as a family.
Wow, that's so good.
And in your marriage. So I just share your heart on that with us, Lauren.
Yeah. I, you know, when I'm coming into my second marriage, you know, you tend to just kind of think that you're just strong in certain things. And you said, so we went to some counseling before and we were just thinking to ourselves, we're going to have this blended family thing down. It's going to be hard, but we're going to do it. You know, it's going to be great.
Yeah.
And I had heard, don't have any expectations on your bonus kids. Don't have any expectations on how long it's going to take to feel like a family. You know, it's going to take, you know, and I'd heard all those things, but I just kind of assumed I'm going to be such an amazing bonus mom. You know, everything is just going to go great so quick, you know, like who would not love me, you know? And, but you know, reality sets in pretty quick, you know, the kids were all excited about moving in together for a good hot minute. And then once we got moved in, it was kind of like, why are you touching my stuff? Why are you in my room? You know, that's also that thing. So I think that, it is so important to have zero expectations on your bonus children, how quickly they accept you, how quickly you feel like a family. Because one thing I always will try to go back to is love is not a feeling, it's a commitment, it's a covenant, you know, it's actions. And it's great when the feelings and the actions can line up, but that's not always the case.
Right.
And so for both your spouse and yourself when it comes to growing your relationship with your bonus kids. You know, I fell in love with my spouse over time, and it was the same. It's the same with my bonus kids. You know, you naturally have that drawing of with your biological children. You just fall in love with them instantly, you know, but with your bonus children, you grow to your love grows for them, you know? And so your actions of how you show them love have to be done regardless of if it's reciprocated.
Yeah.
You know, they have to be done even if they're not giving it back. And even if you don't feel that same bond or love whenever you're hugging your biological child. And what I've found is the more I've done that, the more I've gone back to, God, this is not me. My expectation is completely in my trust in you that you're going to do the work. Mm-hmm. You're going to bring us together as a family. You already us together and you're going to bring that feeling of a family, you know? That's when things start progressing and things start going well. The minute I get back into, I'm just going to be this amazing mom, I go in and see my bonus son and I'm like, hey, honey, you want to talk about your day? And he's just looking at me like, would you please get out of my room? I'm like, you know?
Yeah.
And, I go back to, you know, stop trying so hard, Lauren, you know, like just lean on God, you know, and then all of a sudden your bonus kid surprises you. He like walks into the room and I'm using my bonus son because he's the one who lives with us most. I have an amazing relationship with my bonus daughter. She's been so gracious to me. Thank you goodness. Cause I came into her life when she was 17 and, she's been an amazing woman. But you know, my bonus son, it was more difficult because he was younger. I am, present in his life about 95% of the time, you know? And so, it was difficult for him to accept this new bonus mom in his life all the time, you know? So, I'm not going to cry on the show because we only have a little bit more time. Lord help me. But, But it was good because just the other day, you know, for one of the first times ever, he like came up to me and thanked me for something that I had done for him. It was for his birthday, and he came up and said thank you, and he gave me a hug, and it was completely
unsolicited.
Yeah. And like for a 15-year-old or 16-year-old boy, and just like for me, that was like, oh my gosh, when, you know, like well, he hugged me, you know, like, and I didn't even like make him hug me, you know, or tell him to, you know. So I think that was probably the biggest thing. And there was one scripture I wanted to share because it helps me the most. Yeah. And it's really short. It's the Passion Translation, Proverbs 14:1. And it says, every wise woman encourages and builds up her family, but a foolish woman over time will tear it down by her own actions.
Wow.
And that word, like actions, and another version says her own hands, you know, it speaks to the fact that the minute we put it in our own strength, we're going to mess it up.
Yeah.
Every single time, you know, we're just going to start ripping things to shreds when we think, but the wise woman, we always lean on the Holy Spirit. And if we do that, like me and Mom, our motto for this year is minute by minute, sweet Jesus. Because if we lean on Him minute by minute, you know, that's when we're going to win. And with all of our family.
Yeah. Well, and like Scripture tells us too, you know, it's not by might or power, but by His Spirit.
It's amazing.
Man,
you guys are just going.
Y'all are powerhouse. I'm like, we need to extend this.
I love. I mean, obviously, from a step parent to a step parent, you know. I mean, there's an understanding that, you know, first of all, when I use the concept death by expectation, there is some spiritual meaning behind that. You know, with expectation comes some, in a lot of cases, disappointment.
Yeah.
And you know, from a spiritual aspect, I know and I'm confident that the devil hates marriage.
Oh yeah.
I know that Satan hates marriage.
Yeah.
And I know that he wants to divide us any way he can. So if he can use a tool by saying, I just want you to expect this. And then when you don't get it, you're gonna feel rejected, rejected.
That's so good.
You're gonna feel
good.
He or that stepchild doesn't love you.
Yeah.
Right.
And when that happens, I'm gonna plant a seed. And that's what's going to be there forever. So when I use the term death by expectations, I just want step parents to understand that, you know, it may not be your season to be appreciated.
Right.
Or I think we've heard it one time. It's not your weekend to be appreciated.
Right.
You know, it's not like your visitation weekend. It's not your weekend to be appreciated.
Yeah.
So you just don't need to expect that. It will come in time.
Yeah.
You're doing a God's journey by being a step parent. Wow. You're choosing that path. It will. Appreciation will come in time.
Yeah, if you take the humility
even if
role.
It's when they're adults.
Yeah,
and you have to settle that in your heart. Even if it's, I've had to do that because the first couple of years were pretty difficult. Me and my biological children, we are all out there with our words. We're like me and my mom, all out there with our words and our expression and our love languages. You know, they're all like me.
It's like a big Italian Greek family.
Where my husband and my bonus children, they're the exact opposite. You know, and so when you have those expectations of, you know, he must not love me or accept me because he knows to talk to me, you know, or that sort of thing, then it makes it a lot more difficult. So those, you know, first couple years were hard because you do that is like, I'm just, you know, I'm not enough, you know, and.
Well, and I know there are stepmoms that are watching, and I just kind of want to give you an opportunity to speak directly into their hearts. So stepmoms who are watching, and they're going through this fire, what encouragement would you give them?
Wow, so I would definitely say you need to adopt me and my mother's motto of Jesus minute by minute. And what I mean by that is when we are fully surrendered to
Amen.
Just loving Jesus and letting Him do all the work, then it makes it just so much more easier to every time we're speaking to our stepchildren or our husband, we are doing it out of, you know, being with the Holy Spirit. And when you've got that fulfillment from Him, then it's so much easier to say no to those expectations of not desiring or getting let down when you're not getting the response back from your bonus child or from your spouse even. that you're wanting. And so I would just say, you know, a lot of humility, a lot of grace for your family and for yourself every single day, because I have had great weeks, I've had great days, and I have had horrible days, like just last week, you know? So I think it's, you know, just giving yourself a ton of grace that, you know, it's day by day. And your children, even if they don't respond to you now, and even if they don't respond to you the entire time they're living with you, they will grow up and look back and say, wow, I put my bonus mom or my bonus dad through the ringer, and they really loved me.
Yeah.
And the reward will be that much sweeter.
Yeah. It really will. You know, the bonus son she's talking about is Elijah, and he's a really sweet kid.
He's a great kid.
Love that the kids come to church on Sunday morning, and they all sit on the front row with Lauren. And my normal deal is to go grab each one of them, and I'm very imposing, and I'm like hugging them and kissing them and just all over them. And Elijah looks like that. I mean, I started hugging him because I remember the very first time that right after they married, I'm thinking, dude, you're getting it too.
Yeah.
You're getting it too. And he's looking at me like, somebody shoot me. I don't want this
like,
imposing,
who is this woman?
Crazy. And he's Hispanic, white woman kissing me. And so but I heard the Holy Spirit say, treat him just like the other.
Yeah. You know?
And so I just every Sunday morning, kissing him, hugging him, pulling on his curly hair, doing everything I do to all the others. And this last Sunday morning, I was doing my normal routine, and I always tell him I love him, and they all tell me they love me back. He never says a word. And this Sunday, he said, I love you.
Oh.
And I thought, you know what? It's taken 3 years of me just smacking my big fat lips on you. He knows now. He really does know that I love him.
Yeah. So good.
I love the thing that you're saying about the expectations, because here's the truth. A lot of times when you're blending families, you've got your rules for your kids at home, and then they have a different set of rules.
Yeah.
And you know, everybody has their thoughts about how you do that. And I'm not saying there's any one way, because there's a lot of ways that you can scan a cat. But one of the things that I think helps is especially when you don't have kids in the home all the time.
Yeah.
How I learned to deal with that is I had certain rules for my kids, and then when the other kids would come, they had a whole different set of rules. So I had to make a decision. Am I going to just scream at everybody all weekend long?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just make these
parenting one-on-one.
These stepkids think, oh, I have just entered into the hell of a stepmother.
Yeah.
You know, like this thing called hell that the stepmother lives in, because she's got these rules.
Yeah.
And I just finally made a decision, you know what? We're just going to let it go.
Yeah.
I'm not going to worry about if they pick the plate up. I'm not going to worry about if the room's dirty. I'm just going to, they're only here every other weekend. And I'm not going to scream at my kids. My kids are going to get a free pass this weekend.
There's certain things you just have to.
Because we're just going to have some fun.
Sanity.
Yeah. And that seemed to help a lot. Now, some people wouldn't like that motto, but that worked for me, because for me, relationship was more important than every dish being picked up, every rule being followed. That works well with your children, your biological children, but that doesn't always work well. Now, if they're living with you all the time, that's different. But if they're just in and out, I think it helps.
It's true, because that what she's talking about, that was easy to do. Like I had to do that with Elijah, because with Angel, my oldest, I knew she was already 17. So my approach was, I just want to be her friend and someone to look up to, for her to look up to. That was it. I didn't try to parent her, because she was already going off to college and it was just not. But Elijah was a lot younger. And so, but, you know, once I realized that like my rules for Joseph and Jonah were not going the same way, or he wasn't responding the same way, and there was some friction and things like that, you know, I was able to like just tell my husband, like, you're going to have to do all the disciplining with him, you know, like, because he's not ready to just receive from me in that way.
Yeah.
And I had to go a step back of, I still have to earn like his trust to be able to parent him the way that I would like to, you know, and I may never get to that place where I can like fully, but it's obviously come a long way since then. But my biological children, you know, they would say like, you know, well, why don't you do this with Elijah and you make us do this or whatever. And I, you know, it's that open communication of being just completely honest with your kids of that, you know, well, me and Elijah do not have the same relationship that me and you have. We are still growing in our relationship.
That's good.
And we've decided that, you know, his dad is going to discipline him the way he sees fit for now. And so, sorry, buddy, you still got to do what I'm telling you to do. And I don't care what Elijah's saying. Yeah. Elijah's allowed to do. You're doing it, you know. And so that though helped because it takes off. You don't feel like you're having to do something that is putting you in a situation where you're getting the rejection or feeling from
or driving resentment.
A child. Yeah. You know, that's just not, it's not worth it. In the end, it would do more damage than good.
And I think stepchildren and biological, there is a comparison there. And I would also encourage, you know, again, parents teach their kids about expectations.
Yeah.
Because we're not the only ones that have them.
No, they
you know, they have them too.
Yeah.
As you were telling that story, I was reminded of something that we went through. And as funny as the concept was when it was told to me, our stepson made a comparison to our biological son. And it was about something that he had to do that the other one didn't.
And one's and 14
I said,
and one's
well,
four.
I go, well, it's because he's four. Yeah. But that didn't compute.
That didn't compute.
First. Oh, yeah. It was well, he didn't have to do it. I'm like, it's because he's four.
Yeah.
And you're 14. That has nothing to do with biologics or step-parent.
Right.
It's like, it's just 10 years difference.
Yeah.
But I think children have those expectations.
Right.
And even worse, and I know parents, you don't mean to do this, and I know we've probably even been guilty of it too, but we give them expectations that they have to live up to, or they have to, you know, make everybody happy or do everything right to make all four of their parents happy or whatever that is.
Yeah.
But they live with a lot of pressure.
They do.
And Pastor Callie, as you were talking, another thing that came to my heart was, you know, especially stepchildren, sometimes it's good to give them a pass. They have a lot of pressure on them.
Yeah, I like that you said that, Pastor.
You know, sometimes it's just okay to be like, you know what, dude? Whatever. Like, just are you happy? Are you safe? Are you healthy? Mm-hmm. Do something that you enjoy today. Maybe I'm just going to take a break from over-parenting you on the trash or the dishes.
Yeah.
It's like, just give them a break. Give them a breath.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Great stuff.
Well, and Pastor Callie, you know, you're such a strong woman. If anyone knows Pastor Kelly, I mean, like, I sold out for Jesus. That's all I can say. I'm like
a little reserved.
I know.
So
I'm like,
she was preparing me for what was going to come, and I was like, okay.
If you've ever been to a conference with Pastor Kelly, it is not reserved.
Well,
it is radical and it is amazing. Yeah. So, but you know, you've walked through the fire. You've gone through the divorce. You know, remarriage, blending a family, and you've experienced, you know, children that's happened to, like Lauren.
Sure.
And so, you know, there's a lot of people who are in your situation, you know, grandparents who, you know, and you were talking about your grandson, and I know that that's got to be hard for them.
Sure.
So what advice or encouragement would you give parents and grandparents who are in that situation and navigating it? And it's like, I've got my bio grandchildren, I've got my step grandchildren, and, or they're walking through a child who's experiencing divorce.
You know, I can say this. I went through divorce myself, and it was horrible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But watching my kids go through divorce was quantum leap horrible.
Yeah. Mm.
There's, you know, you think about when we go through problems. Well, I hear parents say it all the time. A kid's sick, I'd rather be sick. I don't want to watch them sick. Mm.
Yeah.
I don't want to So watching Lauren go through a divorce, and then my oldest daughter just went through it, was probably... I want to say it was harder than me going through it.
Yeah.
Maybe because I was just a young 30-something-year-old girl that didn't have, you know, didn't know enough to be upset enough. You know what I'm saying? The longer you live in life, the more you realize how that does alter the course of your life. But what I would say is if you can, first of all, if you can work your marriage out, work it out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just bail because, you know, there's sometimes you have to get out of a marriage because you're being abused or you're being, and there's no way out. And no judgment here. I get it.
Yeah.
I've been through it myself.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can work your marriage out, work it out because it's not going to be perfect anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Blended,
not blended,
first marriage.
They're all hard.
Last marriage, 40 marriages.
Yeah.
It don't matter.
Yeah.
Biological kids, unbiological kids, family's tough.
Yeah.
Family's just tough. Just raising family in 2021 is tough.
Yes. Yeah.
So take that all into consideration. But the first thing I would say is forgive yourself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Forgive yourself. Jesus forgave you of all the mistakes you made.
Mm-hmm.
And God knows I made a ton of them. And give yourself grace.
Yeah.
Give the ex-spouse grace. Mm-hmm. Don't pray that a rock will fall on his head or that she'll burn up in a fire. Or, you know, you're going
to
feel anger at times and you're going to feel frustration because mm-hmm. you love your child. And yeah. sometimes parents will put the children in the mm-hmm. middle, and that is the worst thing you could ever do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I want to just encourage you, take the low road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what God's been speaking to me the last 2 years of my life.
Yeah.
Is Callie, I want you to take the low road. I want you to repent when there's any kind of arrogance or pride in your life.
Wow. Mm.
And that shows up in a lot of different ways.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That can show up with, you know, always making excuses for bad behavior. That can show up not taking responsibility for what I did wrong in the marriage or what I did wrong with raising my kids. I found with raising my kids, the best thing I can do for them is be honest with them. Mm-hmm. I did a lot of things wrong, but I did one thing right. I didn't lie to my kids.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I remember sitting down and telling them, Mama screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mama's taking responsibility for this.
Yeah.
Yeah, Daddy did some things too, but we're not talking about Daddy. We're talking about Mama.
Yeah.
And Mama screwed up. And the best thing we can do is be honest,
mm-hmm.
Tell your kids the truth,
mm-hmm.
repent to them mm-hmm. for the mistakes you've made,
yeah.
mm-hmm. and that will lessen the trauma and the hurt in their lives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then go back to Jesus with them. Let them see you
mm-hmm.
go do the right thing.
Yeah.
Let them see you repent to their dad. Let mm-hmm. them see you repent to their mom. Let them see you repent to Jesus and say, I should have done this better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Repent to them.
That's good.
And just being truthful
mm-hmm.
and open and honest about your mistakes.
Yeah.
It's easy to say, well, this parent's doing this and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And we know it's always, listen, relationships and struggles are always a two-way street.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It don't matter if it's me or somebody else, or if it's her or somebody else, or if it's you or somebody else.
Yeah.
There's always two sides to that story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, there may be one that's implicating it or causing more problems. That can mm-hmm. happen for sure.
Yeah.
But what is my responsibility? What are you trying to teach me, God? And what am I supposed to learn out of this situation?
Yeah. yeah.
What am I supposed to learn? And where are you taking me in the midst of this trial?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I married in a Pentecostal church to a man that was in church. I never planned on getting divorced.
Mm.
13 years into it, I found myself divorced, out of church, never had done anything except help my pastor raise money.
Mm-hmm.
and do things for the church. I found myself divorced, out of church, with 4 children to raise.
Mm.
Got, and literally in a very short period of time, wasn't in church, started selling insurance to make a living, and went out one night, got drunk, and got pregnant.
Mm.
It was like, go big or go home. When I decided to sin, I decided to do it all. So I found, literally,
yeah.
I found myself with 4 children, alone, had lived for God my whole life. Now I'm pregnant by a man I don't even know. Literally went out with him, got drunk one time, got pregnant. And now I got to tell the truth to my kids.
Yeah.
Mm.
Now my husband had left and he started the process, but I just took this thing and let's just make it worse.
Mm.
Let's just see how bad we can screw this up.
Yeah.
But you know what? Now I pastor a church and I call myself the user-friendly pastor because you know who they want to come to? Mm. When they've screwed it up royally, they want to find me because I'm going to tell them that there's hope.
Yeah.
There's always hope at the cross.
Amen.
And so I set my 4 children down. And after I kind of came to my senses, because I almost aborted that baby.
Mm.
That's how backslid I was. And God just got a hold of me, sent me a prophetic word in the middle of the night and said, if you'll face your sin and do the right thing, not only will I bless you all the days of your life and your children, but that baby girl, he did call a girl, that baby child of yours, I'm going to use in a very special way.
Mm.
I repented, set my 4 children down and said, look, here's what I did, but we're going back to church. We're giving our lives back to God.
Amen. Mm.
And I've got a baby now and you're going to have a sister or a brother.
Mm.
And I watched God put my life back together, put me, for a long time, I went into the corporate world and worked for many years. And then I went into full-time ministry in my 40s. all my kids serving God. My baby girl's a country singer, travels all over the world. God has blessed us so much, blessed all my kids. But I sat down with those four kids and I told them the truth. And so none of them resent Jesus. None of them resent the house of God. None of them think their mama's a hypocrite because I told them the truth. And I just say, be honest with your kids, be honest with yourself, and be honest with God, and He can sort it all out.
Well, I think
it's powerful.
I know it's powerful because I know that there are many more parents who are living with guilt, shame, and non-exposure of the truth because they don't want to tell their kids.
No.
Yeah. They just don't. Yeah. I mean, I remember as an adult thinking back to my parents and going, man, you guys really screwing up. You know, you guys really didn't do things. They never came to me. So there's a resentment that can build.
Yeah.
But I know most parents either A, wouldn't do it, or B, wouldn't think to do it.
Well, they don't want their kids to be disappointed in them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I never wanted my kids to charge God for a mistake I made.
That's good.
I wanted them to see God is perfect because He is.
Yeah.
I wanted them to know that Jesus, no matter how bad mom screws up, or no matter how bad dad screwed up, that Jesus is the only one that we should, any of us, trust in.
Amen.
So I had enough sense to know that. I can't say I knew everything, but I had enough sense to know that. And I can say that's why my kids still serve God, and they never looked at me. I've never had my kids say, you're a hypocrite.
They
knew I told on myself. And that, I think, is what our kids need more than anything.
Right.
It's just parents that live behind closed doors what they live in public.
Yeah.
And when we do make a mistake, we tell them the truth, we repent, and we give them a path to walk on.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And so we even give them a path to walk on when they've messed up.
Yeah.
Because they're gonna make mistakes too. They may not end up in divorce, and we pray none of our children do.
Yeah.
But what if they do? Or what if they make a mistake worse than that? Yeah. There's got to be a path to home. And part of what our responsibility as parents and grandparents is to show them the path.
Yeah.
I would encourage anybody who, you know, is listening that this is just truth and it's just good stuff.
Yeah.
And again, I think one of the biggest obstacles with blended families is two things. One, they're not seeking God enough.
Yeah.
And two, they may be seeking, but they don't believe what Jesus does. They don't believe in the elimination of guilt, the elimination of all the things. It's like they want. It's like they say, "Oh, that's a good thing," but they don't go all the way with it. They don't really take off the weight that Jesus takes off of them.
Sure.
And so they just walk with the shame, guilt, and embarrassment.
Right.
And there are so many blended families that do that.
Well, I think my mom, one thing that she said, and I know we've got to be quick, but she said when she responded the way that she did, even though I was a kid at the time, when I found myself in the same situation, you know, you automatically just think, well, what did my mom do? My mom did this. And she gave all of her broken pieces back to God, and she was like, you know, she asked for forgiveness, and I did the same exact thing with my kids. You know, I know your dad's not perfect. I'm not perfect. I've made a lot of mistakes, you know. And I apologize to my kids. I apologize to my kids on the regular. But like, because it teaches them that it is when they can forgive themselves, when they can say they're sorry, and they see their mom apologizing, you know, for something that she did, but then we're going to keep on going and keep loving Jesus. And they see me forgiving myself and keep having victory, you know, like then they're going to do the same. And like, you know, mom was saying, not blame God or anything else. And I'm going to end this on a funny note, though, because she became single mom, we moved into this apartment complex and my mom is sunny side up and we're sunny side up. We're always sunny side up personality. Everything's going to be great. And so we moved into this apartment complex and we're all kind of sad, you know, because we're divorced now. We're going to the apartment complex. My mom's like, look, everything's going to be okay. It has a pool. It has a pool. We're going to go sunny. And so I go through my divorce, right? And I ended up, I'm not even like putting two and two together, but I ended up getting an apartment in the exact same apartment complex.
Wow.
And I'm walking into the apartment complex and I've got my three babies and they're all kind of, and I'm like, babies, look, yeah, we got a pool. Yeah. We had so much fun because we are going to swim in this pool. And I literally was like, oh my gosh, I
just literally verbatim said exactly what my mother said 20 years ago. That at least we got a swimming pool.
We have a pool.
All hell just broke loose.
That is
but
so
we
funny.
Got a pool.
Oh, I love that.
I love
man,
it.
That is so funny. Y'all, I was talking to Pastor Callie's assistant before, and she was like, y'all are going to laugh so much. Yeah. So I hope y'all are laughing
That's
with us
good stuff.
Because that is awesome.
Hey, friends, we hope that this episode is blessing your socks off right now. And we just want to take an opportunity to talk about partnering together. If Blended Kingdom Families has touched your marriage and touched your blended family in some way, we'd love to partner with you.
At Blended Kingdom Families, we're trying to reach as many blended families as possible, and we can do more with your support. So please take an opportunity to visit blendedkingdomfamilies.com and click partner. Hope you enjoy the rest of the episode.
We ask everybody who's on the show, the name of our ministry, Blended Kingdom Families. What is a blended kingdom family to you?
Well, a blended kingdom family to me is a family that's built on the rock of Jesus.
Amen. Mm. Yeah.
It's making a decision to build your life on the Word of God and and live a life in the presence of God.
That's good. Mm.
So that's what it is. I mean, it's the same recipe for a blended kingdom family as it is for any family.
Yeah.
The Bible works. Jesus works. Redemption works. The blood works.
Mm.
He is the great reconciler.
Yes.
He redeems us. His blood speaks a better word.
Mm.
I love the song that Leland wrote called A Better Word. His blood speaks a better word. It rewrites my history.
Mm.
In other words, it takes everything that I did wrong, and somehow he takes that mosaic and he makes it beautiful. It's like one of those antique mosaic paintings that, you know, when they've been destroyed in war and then they go and put them back together, they're actually worth more than they were when they're in their perfect condition. And that's what God does with us. He takes our broken mess and he takes the blood of Jesus and he paints a picture that we could have never imagined.
Amen.
I love it. Love it.
That's awesome. Good.
Yeah. I'll just ditto everything that she said.
That's it. Just everything she said. And I would just say, you know, we're a blended family just built on just surrender, daily surrender to your walk with the Lord and teaching your children to do the same. And one thing I say to my boys all the time and in any conversation, anytime they're talking to me about things they're wanting to do and all that is just always remember we're nothing without them. So when you've got that mindset of I'm nothing without you, Jesus, can't do any of it without you, then you're destined for success and victory.
Amen.
Amen.
Beautiful. Good stuff.
Man, love that.
I know.
I'm over here like.
No, it's awesome.
Can't cry my microphone.
Well, Pastor Callie, Lauren, tell us where our viewers can find you. You know, Pastor Callie, you got lots going on. Lauren, I know you got lots going on. So tell us where people can find you and follow you.
A couple of places. At Callie Ship Gray Official on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Callie Ship Gray Official on Facebook. And when you pull that up, it says Mothers of Zion. We pray every morning at 8 a.m. There's anywhere from 300 to 450 women praying live for 30 minutes. Prayer is a passion of mine.
Yes.
It's what God's called me to do. I started praying as a young teenager. So we pray every morning. So that's where you can find me. Also, at Callie Ship, at Callie Gray on YouTube. You can pray with me via YouTube as well. And then on Instagram, it's at Callie Gray.
Yeah.
So official, I think it says. So
okay.
That's where you can find me. And I pastor a church called Celebration of Life with my sister and brother-in-law and my husband. Mm. And that's in Baytown, Texas, right outside of
I think their Instagram is the COL Baytown. Is that what it is?
Baytown Celebration of Life.
Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, we'd love to have you if you're in the area. Come visit us.
We will.
We'd love to have
you. Yeah, we will. So I'm with COL Baytown on Instagram. Isn't that what it is?
I don't know.
Handle?
I think so.
My handle on Instagram.
We'll find it. It'll be on the screen.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to find the two crazy girls that come from Baytown.
Yeah, exactly.
You'll find us. I'm not as legit with the ministry, like social media that mom has, but yeah. I'm on Instagram and love to.
She's a doll. If I looked like her, I'd have been the queen of England.
She's always said that her whole life.
I'll be married to the mayor of Texas. Oh, my God.
Governor.
I'm like, governor. The governor. God.
So she always y'all crack me up.
I like to laugh.
I know. And I love it. And just love you guys. I mean, it's been such a joy and just blessing to get to know you more. And
thank
I hope
you
we
so
get
much.
To
You're precious.
Know you even more. And so we are honored. We honor each of you. And we are just so thankful for you sharing your hearts and just your love for the Lord.
Do you mind if I say something to you two? Mm-hmm. I really feel very strong by the Holy Ghost that God is... He's absolutely called you to do this. This is going to be a ministry that literally saves thousands of families, thousands, hundreds of thousands of families. Mm-hmm. And where God has you now and where He's taking you is beyond even your wildest dreams. And you can really dream. Both of you you're real dreamers. You can dream real big. Mm-hmm. But I just hear the Lord saying He's going to take this so much bigger than what you could have ever imagined, because your heart is for what His heart is, and that is to save people.
Amen.
And you have literally heard the voice of the Lord, and you have stepped out by faith, and so the finances are going to come from all different places. God is going to give you unique ways to finance this ministry, but the beautiful part is the thousands of families that are going to find a home and a refuge in this podcast and the materials that you produce in the Bible studies. There's going to be so many lives turned around, and I just bless you in the name of Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank
we
you.
Receive that.
Awesome.
Thank you, Pastor.
God bless.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. Guys, I literally, this has been an amazing time with Pastor Callie and her daughter, Lauren. I'm so thankful for you guys and appreciate you loving on us and sharing your story.
You.
And if you're watching this, please go and find them. They are just great women of God, and I know that you will be encouraged. So thank you guys so much for being with us. And guys, thanks so much for tuning in. I hope you have been as blessed as we have through this time. You guys have a wonderful, wonderful day.
All right. Be blessed in all that you do.
God bless.
Care.
Yes.
BKF community, we want to hear from you guys. If you would take the time to leave us a review, and you can find us on all social media platforms. Our podcast is like on every podcast platform, and you can visit us at our website at www.blendedkingdomfamilies.com.
Yeah, guys, we're trying to reach every blended family all over the world, and we can't do this without your partnership. So please take a minute, like, share, comment, review, tell your friends. Tell them they can all go to blendedkingdomfamilies.com for great resources.